Hi everyone, in this episode we interview the amazing Allie Egan. Allie has battled with infertility, recurrent miscarriages, and a genetic disorder called PKU that restricts her diet to 11 grams of protein a day. After four IVF transfers ending in miscarriages in the last year, her and her husband Matt are turning to surrogacy to grow their family. I will insert a little bit of a trigger warning in this episode just with Allie talking about her miscarriages and infertility. But Allie has an amazing outlook on life and her situation and her story, and she's so positive. And we really enjoyed this episode. We were laughing, we were crying. So we hope that you enjoy it too. Please join us in welcoming Allie Egan.
This is Ashley.
And this is the Double Scoop. We have another guest Allie. Today. Allie
Hello.
Egan.
Hi.
Right? Is that how you say your
Egan.
Name?
Yep. Egan. Allie Egan. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. How did we meet?
You did my wedding.
Was that how I met you?
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if I knew you before. Yeah. I think I knew of you, though, through Trevor.
Yeah.
And just because you were friends together. With everyone.
Yeah.
That I knew.
Probably.
That he knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but then she did my videography, right?
Your video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And we actually watched it like a week or two
did
ago.
You really?
Like, this is actually
so
the
cute.
Best.
Oh,
it's
do you
the
still
best
like
to
it?
Have that. Yes.
It really
no,
is.
It's the
it
best really to have is. That because I mean obviously pictures are great too, but like
yeah.
to have
the
just
video?
Like yes. yes.
No, videos
and all
are
the
special.
Family and like us interacting with them,
yeah.
it's the best thing.
Yeah. So, it's different than just like a still photo. I know.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget. You're like, oh, wait, let's watch.
I'm like,
we love each other.
So
let's
love
watch.
You.
Wait, yeah, we should probably watch ours too. I forgot we had one.
It's a monthly ritual.
Yeah.
you need to
every
make
month,
it a monthly.
All the time.
Yes. Yeah.
I love
exactly.
That.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're going to have Allie here and kind of introduce herself and tell her story. But first, we'll
get into our scoops.
Do our scoops, yeah. You want to go first?
Sure.
What's your scoop?
My scoop is just that we were in Arizona. You and I went
yeah,
to Arizona this last weekend.
Was so
it was
fun.
Like your was last
so nice.
Hoorah before the triplets
yeah.
come.
For we get too big to do anything.
Anything? Yeah. And we were literally there for 2 days.
Yeah, literally
not
Thursday.
Even really
we got there Thursday at midnight yeah. and left Saturday like 5.
Yeah.
And
but
it was
the perfect amount
yeah,
of time. We got sun.
Yeah.
Which was... the
it's
most important thing.
Dang good food.
And
oh,
really
yeah.
good
did
food.
You eat at Snooze?
No.
Oh, no. I'm so sad about that.
I
you
know.
Need to go back.
Next time.
So good.
Next time.
Oh, they have so such good food.
Oh,
well, there are like too many almost
oh,
that you
yeah.
can't
amazing.
Chase.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We had free breakfast at our hotel.
Oh, yeah. That's the way I do it. Then.
And we
yeah,
were
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
trying to save.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and yeah. breakfast is kind of like, I don't know. Maybe this is a hot take, but. Maybe like the least exciting meal of the day. I don't know.
Oh, I'm obsessed with breakfast.
Hot take.
You just
I was like,
you just offended me to
I
my core.
Not.
No, breakfast like, is my favorite
same
meal.
Dinner,
the
like
whole
you can have like.
Day. I'll have steak for breakfast.
That's so good. I'm like, I just like, don't really eat. Like, I like will eat a banana
oh, yeah,
and like
okay,
a little
yeah.
protein.
There's
thing
a lot
on
of people
way.
Though who like don't have an appetite in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's well, I just love breakfast food.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the
yeah.
category
at any time
yes.
of
breakfast
yeah.
food.
Yeah.
So I look forward to it first thing every morning.
You guys both are like, actually, you
when
need to go.
When
home.
You said that, we had to post a reel with our reaction to that because we were both like, are
oh.
you?
I'm like, so sorry.
Did you feel the lasers?
Yes, literally. Just four beams. I'm like,
oh. I'm
never mind. I love breakfast.
Breakfast is my favorite.
That's so good.
I'm
well, next time you need to go Snooze because
we will.
The breakfast
will.
Is bomb. Next time when your triplets are
yeah, when my
3 years old.
Yeah, what do
you know?
So 4 years. Okay.
You'll get there. You'll
yeah.
get there.
Yeah.
It'll fly by.
I will. Yeah.
But anyway, I was just going to talk about how we watched that show while we were in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have to give an update with that. That'll be my nice. Oh,
okay.
No.
Okay. Have you seen the program?
I knew you were going to say that. No, oh. my dad watched it. He's like, you have to watch this. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle it.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it the saddest?
It's not. It's awful.
It's really sad.
But it's not like graphic.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
No. It's just sad the life that these kids like have to live in these boarding schools.
Boarding schools, yeah.
Border schools. Yeah. They're called like therapeutic schools, but.
Yeah. Oh, and the brainwashing crazy. That they do to the parents too, so they have no idea what's happening to their kids.
Because I feel like people were like, how are the parents signing off on this? And I'm like, are they? Like, do they know?
They literally don't know. No, they make the parents sign. They make them like write a letter that says, I am committing, no matter what my child says to me, I am committing to keep my child until they graduate.
Yeah.
And if they like do certain things, like misbehave, then they'll like bump them down levels.
Their graduation so, like moves back.
Are there for like 3.5 years. Yeah. And they'll literally, and they monitor the kids' letters. And so they say, if you talk bad about the school or anything, that you move down a level.
Oh my gosh.
But some kids will. Stuck. Some kids just like don't care. They're like, yeah.
Oh, that's it's so sad.
I think the craziest part is like watching it through the lens of like being a parent already.
Yeah.
And being like, how can these parents be okay? Well, not even just like put all the abuse aside, but like, how could you just send your kid off somewhere for years and you don't get to see them at all? And like, because they're like troubled.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would want to love my kid and just like help them through it instead of like push them out and like
see,
get
like,
rid of
one
them.
One of the girls, I don't think this will give anything away. One of the girls wasn't even troubled. Her brother went there. And so her parents were like, we'll just send you there too for fun with him because they were really close. And she's like, okay. Went there. She was like the perfect kid. And they were like trying to convince her. The counselors were like, no, you're addicted to drugs. Like you're here because you're addicted to drugs. You took a drug test and it tested positive. She's like, I literally have never done drugs. And so in order for her to move forward in the program, she literally had to like
admit say, that she did drugs.
Yeah, she had to be like.
And she was like a crack drugs. Whore.
Yeah. They called her crack whore.
Stop. That's literally brainwashing.
And she went back.
What point are you like, is it Stockholm Syndrome or something? I know. Like,
you're just like, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And she went back. Years later, that's what these kids are doing. They're going back years later to the school. They're finding their files and stuff. And it says in her file, like, drug test negative. And yeah, it's just like so.
But this crazy. Stuff okay, is legal and it's happening still.
Yeah, how is that? How is that like?
There's like no laws that are protecting these kids. Yeah. It's like.
There's more laws. They even say this in the show. There's more laws around like dog kennels.
Yeah.
Than there are around like these schools.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
And they like originate from Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did hear that. I mean, that's not great.
And like
for
the guy who owns all the schools is like from Utah.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, that's just like sick. Yeah.
Well,
that's
and then sick. I found out, and I'll say this is my scoop. It showed a school. It's like it's showing Cross Creek in Hurricane, Utah.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does that sound so familiar? My mom and my grandma literally worked there. Worked at the school. My mom was a night staff, and she was pregnant with my sister and would sit in the halls and just make sure girls didn't, like, escape. And I feel like I remember, I know my grandma doesn't listen to our podcast. I hope no one says this to me. My grandma.
Grandma, if you're listening, just
my grandma's a little, she's just from the generation where they, I don't know, they're a little crazy.
Yeah.
They're a
little,
And we get you. I literally remember her telling me stories of her having to, like, restrain girls, like, troubled teenage girls. And I just... I was like a teenager or something, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, my grandma works with like troubled youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was at the school. It was at Cross Creek. And I called my mom by the pool, me and Ashley by the pool. And I was like, Mom, did you work at Cross Creek? She's like, yes, I don't want to revisit that time in my
life. She's like, I plead the fifth. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
So then she ended up watching the documentary. She's like, it was kind of traumatizing to watch.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they didn't know. Like, it makes you wonder, like, how many employees actually know that they're maybe not like, troubled or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She only worked there for a little bit. But she was like, she's like, there's so much that went on that, like, people just have no
And
idea.
She was pregnant. Your mom was pregnant, and she wasn't abusing the kids.
No. She was there at night. She was literally just sit. She would sit at
Everyone's
night.
Everyone's like,
my
your
mom. Mom. No. No, she never had to even, like, get involved. She would just be there
just
to make
kind
sure
of,
the
like,
girls
sit.
Don't, like, sneak out at night.
Yeah.
But
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so crazy.
You need to watch it.
That is insane.
It's Maybe just, I do need to watch it.
I, like, couldn't. Not watch it.
Yeah,
we almost binged it in one night.
Yeah, and then I started falling asleep. And I was like, "Are you asleep?" Yeah. I was like, "I'm sorry."
Like, yes, I am. I'm asleep. Okay, my scoop. Yeah, I guess I'll go along the lines of that. I watched The Quiet on Set.
Oh yes, Casey and I just watched that.
Oh my gosh,
I haven't seen it, but I've seen clips.
Oh, insane.
It's so sad.
Insane. Like,
it's so sad.
Insane. We were in my house. We watched so much Drake and Josh. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So, like, Nickelodeon. iCarly was a little bit more like my younger siblings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like,
I watched iCarly.
Nickelodeon. Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm like, it's just insane. Yes. What was happening.
Yes.
And what was like people knew, yes, and just didn't have the authority to like do anything about it.
Yeah. I
Dan
know.
Schneider, like.
Yes.
He's a disgusting human. If you're listening,
Dan Schneider.
Dan,
we are the worst. But like, yeah, just insane. So that's my scoop. I binged that. I mean, it's 4 episodes. So
What's that one on?
HBO Max.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I watched it.
Maybe that's where it is. I was going to say HBO or Peacock, one of the like random.
Oh, maybe both of them. Yeah.
If it's on Peacock, I can watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
I hate how many streaming services there are. I
know.
So dumb.
I know. Matt's like, do we need to get like a free trial for this to watch? Yeah. And then we forget like, that we have the free trial.
I know.
And
I'm like,
oh. I have to have Peacock for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
I just have that.
I'm on season one.
I'm on season. I just finished season 4, and now I'm watching the reunion.
Is that the most recent one? Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh, Monica. She is trouble.
I'm excited.
She's trouble.
Oh my gosh. You're so cute.
I don't want to ruin it. You don't even know who that is yet.
No, I know. I don't care.
It's addicting. So I had to get Peacock for that. And you have to have everything.
I know.
Have to have YouTube. We had to have YouTube TV because you don't have cable. Being
like more than cable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And like we had to, like Bachelor finale last night, we had to stay up. I was up till like 1 watching that.
Oh, I just heard it was good.
I didn't watch it.
Did you guys watch the season? Bachelor
this season? I didn't.
It was good. I haven't watched since like Matt James' season.
Yes,
like,
that was my last season too.
Well, they fumbled so hard just like, and this is not a hot take. I know everyone agrees with this because it's been all over TikTok, but no one's pumped about the Bachelorette selection.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you guys are fumbling again. You had so many people picked back up with Joey because he's so dang cute. And like the season was great. Like I loved it. I was like, I'm back to Bachelor Nation. Yeah. They announced the Bachelorette. I'm like, I'm out.
You're like,
I'm out.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe I'm not fully out. It's just something to watch. But
I did watch the clip of him and the two girls though at the end. So I was like tearing up.
I need to watch it. I need to watch it.
It was a good one. Okay. Put it on your like postpartum list.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'll be busy with 5 children.
Shows to binge.
Oh, yeah, literally. Gosh. For real, though.
It's a good one. It's a good one. So we just watched that.
Yeah. I love reality TV.
Yeah. Put on your list.
I'm just now getting into reality TV.
So. I know.
It's addicting.
Finally, Ashley's into some pop culture.
I know, it's
you're like,
true.
Let's get you, come on. Get you season into pop
slowly
culture.
Slowly reeling you in.
That's so good. I love it.
Okay, well, Allie, let's talk about you.
Oh my gosh, so weird. I'm
story is wild.
Yeah,
tell us just a bit about like your upbringing, like where you're from.
Yeah. So I grew up in, I grew up in Alpine, Utah. Okay. I lived there till I was 15. We moved to Provo when I was 15. I went to Provo High with the Zabetti crew.
She went to high school with both our husbands.
Yes. And so, Henson.
Yeah.
Like, he was older. Yeah. So Dallin was my age, but he's older. So I always forget, but
Dallin's my brother-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
brother-in-law. Not married to Dallin.
Still like, happily married to Trevor. I grew up in Alpine, moved to Provo, went to Provo High, and, I had a couple years in Texas when I was little.
Okay.
I have a ton of family in Texas, so I feel like I'm like have a little piece of Texas. I'm not a Texan. I can't say I'm a Texan, but I've got a little Texas in my heart.
I've lived there more than a year.
I'm Texan, a full Texan. Sure. Full Texan. Literally from like 3 to 5 or something. No, not 1 to 3. 1 to 3. I like don't even know.
Born there.
Yeah. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, a huge part of my childhood and my life is my PKU. I was born with a rare genetic disorder. It's called PKU. It's insane. Sorry. No, you're good.
I was just going to say, so you've known you've had that for a while.
Yes,
you
forever.
Weren't recently diagnosed with
it. Okay. Forever. So it's diagnosed at birth. So you know the little like heel prick that your babies get?
Yes.
Yeah. And they like take it into like the pediatrician. That's it's like the newborn screen. They test for PKU.
Oh.
So I have that. So my sweet mom, she's amazing. I'm oldest. So they have their firstborn and they're like all excited. She's nursing me. They get me home and they call and they're like, hey, like this test came back like abnormal. You need to come in. And basically they're like, here's all the info on PKU. They don't have Google.
Yeah.
They're like, what is this? They like, I think they said they had like an encyclopedia or something out.
Just like, what is? I can't imagine being a parent in like the 80s or 90s.
I'm always like, what is this rash that is on my child's
picture sent to the Facebook group?
Yeah.
What is
Reddit?
This?
Yeah. What is? Yeah. I'm not a Redditor. Don't worry. I'm like, but yeah, so that's a huge part of my life. It basically, my body can't like digest protein, can't like break down protein.
That's crazy.
And yeah, so I'm limited to about 11 grams of protein a day.
That's insane.
That's
Like cheese, yeah. Milk, yeah. Of course, any meat.
Like, yeah. So, and like beans even. I was wearing all my lips gloss. Sorry. But yeah, so I mean, I think to put it in perspective, I think like a Yoplait yogurt is like 8 grams or 7 grams or something. So yeah, it's wild. So my sweet mom had to stop nursing because like milk, you know, and they had to put me on a formula, like a medical formula. I'm actually still on, I mean, I'm not on like the same, it's like a baby formula that smells like baby formula, but now I'm on, they have like better options for adults that are like, it's literally like a protein shake.
Yeah.
It's like in like a package like and a you just like shake it. Yeah. Oh yeah. Gosh. And but I have to have 5 of them a day. They're equivalent to like 20 grams of protein. So I'm getting ahead of myself.
No,
it's like
this is so interesting.
So,
I know nothing
complex.
About this.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
And it's so rare. I think I was the second kid born in Utah in the year of 1995 with it.
I
was born in September.
Oh, wow.
So like it's really rare. I think that's right. I mean, I think it's 1 in like 15,000 or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But it's genetic. So my parents are both carriers. And so that means each of their kids had a 25% chance, I believe.
And you're the only one.
Nope. All three of us have it.
You're joking.
All three of us, they had 3 kids, and we all have it. So talk about odds. I mean.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Your
it's
parents
insane.
Are carriers, but they don't have it.
Yep. So they had no idea what it is. Like, we all carry stuff. They had no idea what it was. So my sweet mom had to give me that formula, and this is the crazy part to me. It's, like, now being a mom and, like, having a toddler and, like, she had to watch everything I ate. They, you know, would give me, like, banana. They, like, weigh it and then give it to me and then like weigh it after to see how much I ate. And then you have to track it and like,
just
super crazy. And it's,
it's,
I mean, it's important your whole life, but like when your brain's developing, it's really important because essentially it causes brain damage. Mm. So if you don't, like if I was never diagnosed, it'd be brain damage. Like, complete and total brain damage. And it's just wild. Like I see videos of people who, and they only like found this disease, like what is it, found, I don't know, found it
recently,
in like in like 1958 or something.
Wow.
So like if I was born like 40 years before, like I see these videos of these people and they just are completely like handicapped and like have very special needs, and I'm like, that's me. But I just had like the treatment and I was born in the right place at the right time, and so that's just like a huge blessing that I don't think I ever like really understood until I got older, where I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, this is like insane.
So
I still my whole life will have to kind of like go by that diet. I don't like do it perfectly. I've never had meat. And I've never had it.
So are you like vegan? What would you or like?
So essentially I'm vegan, but I can't have like lentils, chickpeas, beans, rice. I can't have rice. I can't have like, this one always gets people. It's like bread and noodles. Like I have to make everything from scratch.
Okay, I'm curious.
I have a hiccup. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. Kind of a side little tangent. Not tangent.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
What is your like day to day look like? Like what you eat from?
So, I mean, so it, and we'll get into this too with like all my pregnancy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm following it perfectly, which I have to do when I'm trying to conceive or pregnant, it's super important also to get enough calories, because if I don't get enough calories, then you go catabolic, which is taking from your muscle, which is obviously protein.
Your muscle.
Yes, and so. I have to like be really careful with my calories. I basically, so my mom's amazing and she's like the PKU superhero of the world.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
all of us,
kids.
I know,
holy
insane, insane. So she makes like waffles from scratch for us that I'll put like in the freezer and I just like pop them in the toaster. So I'll have those or, and like lunch, there are like medical food companies that like make medical food with the ingredients. Like they use like wheat starch instead of flour and like just random stuff.
Yeah.
So I can buy that stuff, like buy noodles, buy bread, whatever. It's cheaper to make our own bread and just easier. We just slice it up and put it in the freezer. We'll make like a couple loaves at a time and put them in the freezer. Oh, so I can make sandwiches with that. I can put like tomato and avocado and lettuce and like vegan cheese. And and then the noodles, like I can do like spaghetti sauce with that and like some mushrooms cooked up or something. But it's a lot because I have a 3-year-old, and so I'm cooking for like my 3-year-old
and your husband
and my husband and me. So when I was doing like all the pregnancy stuff, which again we'll get into, but I was like, Matt, my sweet husband, I love you, and you're on your own for meals.
Good luck to you.
And
like, I cannot make two PB&J
nuggets. Like we were all just kind of fending for ourselves. But now I'm a little more lax just because my brain's fully developed, which I mean, the PKU communities can be like, it's still important, which it is. It's very important because you can get like cognitive stuff, like migraines, memory, like just things that can happen. But I never go like way too overboard.
Yeah.
Like I've never had meat and I've never had cheese. I've never had like beans. Like I stay away from like the big things, but like sometimes I'll, I don't know, eat like a tortilla with my cafe salad.
That's your splurge. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I'll have a tortilla. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, and also a perspective is Cafe Rio, like the large dressing is like 3/4 of my day because it's like buttermilk. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's wild. So when I'm saying it, I'm like, actually, this like, is really
this is
crazy.
My life. This is my life.
Like,
but it's really literally like since you've been born, like you haven't noticed.
Which is a huge blessing because I think if it was something that was like, oh, you like, got it when you're 15 and you have to like cut out all these foods.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, it's definitely not easy, but I feel super blessed that it was like from the jump.
Like, have you ever been like, I crave meat?
No, because I don't know what
I've never have had.
Yeah. So I guess that is a blessing.
It kind of grosses me out.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would.
I kind of feel like, so my brother's actually on this, they have like some treatment options kind of right now. And he's on a shot. He does like 3 shots a day and I don't know exactly what the science is of it, but he's eating like a normal diet. He's eating chicken. He's eating like because of the
shot.
For the first time in his life. He's 25.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the shot.
I wonder if it's like messed up.
And he's like, what is all of this food? But so I've thought about doing that. I've been doing so much medical stuff that I'm like, I just need a break for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back into it and maybe kind of start that so I can like, Matt's like, what if you can have a burger someday? I'm like, I don't know. I want that. I'm like, am I a vegan? I think like I'll get rice and beans. Like I'm good. But so I make Matt like I'll be doing like chicken or ground beef, and I'm just like,
still make meat for your family.
Yeah, wow, like now and then. Oh well, I'm not a good cook because I can cook my food really good. PKU people come to my house. I'm great, but my poor family. I'm like, we live a block away from a McDonald's. I'm like.
You're like,
yeah, no, yeah, like we're doing that. So yeah, that's a crazy part of my life. And kind of like ties into when a woman with PKU is pregnant, it's super, super vital to have perfect levels of phenylalanine in your bloodstream. So you send in like levels, I mean, even just like my regular normal life, I should be sending in a level like every month to just like check and see where we're at. But when you're pregnant, you do every week, at least like once a week. Because if your phenylalanine, which I didn't even like.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even know. Like,
all these words.
All over the place. It's,
So phenylalanine is what my body can't break down. So protein has like 23 amino acids or is made up of like so many amino acids and only one of them my body can't break down.
Wow.
So that's what my formula, my medicine formula is all the other amino acids essentially, except for that one so that I can get, so I do get like protein, but not that specific building block of protein, makes sense.
That does make sense.
So yeah, that was a very important part that I left out.
No, that's okay. No, that's great. So that's we'll ask all the questions.
Yeah, please. Be like, what are you talking about? Yeah. We're lost. So yeah, that's what the formula is. And then I have all the medical food. But yeah, so when a woman is pregnant, if the phenylalanine builds up in your bloodstream too high, it affects the baby. And so the baby can get, like, it's called maternal PKU syndrome. And it, like, can basically mess up their development, their brain, their head size, like just like how they grow. It's crazy. So it's super, I'm a high risk pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have one son who's three. He's the best. But his whole pregnancy was just kind of anxiety ridden. I mean,
I'm sure.
I crushed it. Like it's the proudest. Yeah. I'm the most proud of that in my whole life because my entire, from trying to conceive, which was a long time, and we did IVF, till when I had him, I have to weigh all of my food. If I make a salad, I'm cutting up the romaine and I'm like, okay, I have 42 grams of romaine. Write it down. Gosh. Okay. I have 30 grams of cherry tomatoes. Okay. I have this many grams and then I have to track it and make sure I have everything right. And then I'm like, okay, I can eat.
Wow.
And I did that my entire pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything is so intentional. You did just grow a baby throughout your life. You like intentionally created him.
For sure.
Wow.
For sure. And so every choice I made regarding food and everything was super important, but I did it all. I mean, if you think about it, like you have a baby and you're like, what wouldn't you do for those babies? Someone's like, well, chocolate's going to hurt those babies. Like, would you be like, oh, I'm craving it. I'm just going to have it. Like, no, like, darn it. Craving it too bad. Can't have it. So
it's
definitely like a willpower thing that I'm like, okay, I have willpower. I'm like, I'm pretty tough there. Like in hindsight, I like pat myself on the back. I'm like, okay, I did that. And my son is totally healthy, perfect, like amazing. And so we got to see him a ton during the pregnancy because you're high risk. So you go in and you know that.
Yeah.
You
get to like go every 2 weeks for ultrasounds. Yeah, like, yes.
So that was fun to be able to see him. And so that was, probably the thing I'm the most proud of in my entire life.
Yeah.
Is having him.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but that brings me into kind of like my fertility journey as well. Yeah. which I do have to say, like, fertility and PKU don't go hand in hand. I just kind of got both. Oh, I just kind of,
Oh.
So PKU doesn't like cause infertility.
Okay.
I just have both.
Okay.
I just got both. So like,
thank you, whoever's.
So, I'm like, whoever's in the sky, if you're there, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Maybe next time around, let's not do this.
Next life.
Yeah.
I'm going to be super fertile.
I'm going to be eating. Yeah. Fertile. Bacon.
Eat whatever I want.
Yeah, all the things.
Bacon.
That's what I'm most curious about. I'm like, bacon.
You're like, it smells good.
It smells so good. That's the one thing that I'm not grossed out by. I'm like, I think I could smash some bacon.
Yeah.
Someday.
I love that.
So, I mean, when my husband and I got married, we had like 2 years and we were like, let's do the family thing. So started trying for a baby. Wasn't really happening. I was only like 3 or 4 months into trying and I just like felt like something was off. I wasn't getting like positive ovulation sticks and stuff. I was like, something's weird. So I went in to a doctor and they're like, oh, like you're not ovulating. Like let's do Clomid, which I know people don't usually do that until
later,
further down. Yeah. But with everything I was doing with food, like I was tracking every like crazy.
You just
and they were
knew
like
something.
We yeah. yeah. And they're like, we don't want you to like lose steam and then get pregnant and then you're like, crap, I wasn't doing the diet and all that whatever.
That makes
and
sense.
So they're like, let's just like get you ovulating. So we did Clomid, we did all the things and nothing was working. So I think we were like 10 months into trying and they were like, just go to a fertility specialist. And I went to them, told them the situation. They usually don't see people till like a year, I think.
Yeah.
Or they used to not, but they were like, oh yeah, this is kind of like a different circumstance. And they were like, you have PCOS. And I was like, oh, I did not know that. So yeah, I like have pretty asymptomatic PCOS. I don't have like, I just like had no idea, except that I don't ovulate.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. So PCOS is basically where you just don't ovulate.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So your eggs
it's not like
don't
scar
mature.
Tissue. It's very different from endometriosis.
Yeah. Okay. So PCOS is when like your eggs don't like mature enough to drop.
Okay.
So they just like you guys, I die. All of my ultrasounds of my ovaries, my doctor calls them chocolate chip cookies because they're just little ovaries with like literally 30 eggs in there. And he's like, this one's from like probably 2 years ago. And it just like never dropped. Like they just store in there.
Interesting.
They just store in there and they just don't drop. And obviously you need to drop an egg to have it fertilized. And so, they were like, let's do IUIs. So those are, intrauterine insemination. So basically they have you go in and they give you a trigger shot, like to make you ovulate and you go in and they take like your husband's sperm and, turkey based it and they put it up and it just kind of like
makes sure
it
goes like where it's supposed
there.
To
so we did one and it failed.
Okay.
Super sad. And you're like, let's do another one. And it failed. And okay. usually they say to do like 3 IUIs before you move on. But my doctor was kind of like, this isn't gonna, I don't think this is gonna do it. Like my ovaries are just so like, I don't know. They were, he was like, you have bulletproof ovaries. Nothing's working. I'm like, awesome.
Nothing's so getting
like,
there.
Let's do IVF. Yeah. I'm like, awesome. So we did IVF and, you know, again, we'd been married like a few years, but
yeah,
you're forking out like 30 grand and you're like, what's happening? Yeah. Is this like worth it? Obviously it was, but, so we do IVF.
So we you're got, 3 years into marriage by the time you did IVF?
I think two and a half.
Okay.
I'm like getting my timeline.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
You three.
We're like fact checking.
We're like,
go back to her Instagram.
So check.
I think I was like 2.5 years in when we started IVF.
Yeah.
And my poor husband, the whole like first half, like bit of our marriage, I mean, I was on birth control and then I was on hormones and I just,
that's so hard.
Haven't felt like myself. Like it's just been so crazy and he's just been so patient. So
we love that.
We are a Matt stan. We love it. So we do IVF and they go in, they retrieve eggs. And I think usually they say like around like 10 eggs to get out is great. And they got 57 eggs for my ovaries. It was,
it was
insane. Whoa. Yeah, it was insane.
Wow.
They said that my ovaries, they're usually like the size of almonds, your ovaries, and they were grapefruits and they were like touching.
Grapefruits.
Yes. Because you do like the stems, you know? You like
get them.
Yeah, you get them nice, ripe and juicy and like grow and then they go in and take them out. Wow. And so then they take sperm sample. I know, crazy. They take the sperm sample, put them together, and they wait like 5 days and see how many are left. And we had 12 embryos. Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 12 little babies. And then you can genetic test them. So we send them for genetic testing.
Yeah.
And 8 of them came back normal. So 4 of them were like abnormal, had like chromosomal things. So 8 came back normal.
So interesting.
Crazy. And then we got the genders too.
Wow.
And that was wild.
Oh, like, there's no way,
like, our babies are in the freezer and they're 5 boys and 3 girls. Like, insane.
Wow.
So crazy. So, we let my body heal for a little bit because that was my, so much. Yeah. I like, it's called OHSS. You get like a hyperstimulation, you get sick. So we let my body heal. So we did a frozen transfer. You can do a fresh transfer. Like, I think pretty soon after your retrieval, or you can wait, put the embryos in the freezer, do a frozen transfer.
Okay. Wait, really quick. Yeah. Can you explain the process of IVF? Like,
yes.
How, like, what do you go through to get all of those eggs
out of you? Basically it's about a month and it's like so foggy because I just feel like I was survival.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's like about it's about a month of the stimulation shots and it grows everything in there to get to do the retrieval.
Shots go in your stomach?
Shots go in your stomach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a couple of them a day, I think, for a while. Yeah, a couple of shots a day.
That's what Haley was saying.
Yeah, they sting so bad. Like, it's like bee sting. Like, just like sting. And the needles weren't big.
Yeah.
But they just stung. And so my husband did all of them. I just love him. He did all my shots for me. It was like, actually, I look back, I'm like, oh, that's like such a sweet bonding. Like,
totally.
I don't know. It was stressful back then. And I probably was like, what the hell are you doing? You know, like whatever. But but it's like I look back, I'm like, oh, we did that. Like that's so sweet. We did that together.
Like
so,
you both like put in the work. I mean, you were doing a lot of the emotional and physical work.
Yes.
But like
and really cool. Financial, like Matt is the one that works. And like I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, he was probably just like, what is happening? Like we had just bought a new condo that we had moved into and like it was just a wild time.
Mm-hmm. Crazy time.
And so the shots go in your stomach for like a month and then they go in and they like give you a trigger shot that makes you ovulate and they know like the exact hour you're gonna ovulate. It's so crazy.
That
and they
is
go
so
in
weird.
And weird. Yeah, they put you under and that was like bomb. Like the anesthesia, I was like, bye.
Just take it. Don't notice a thing.
I'm like, is that the worst to admit? I love anesthesia.
No. Oh my gosh.
You're like, I don't have
all the hard work is done.
Yeah.
I've gotten a few surgeries and every time I'm like,
shoot me up.
I can't wait.
You're like, go.
Good night.
Go. I know. My anesthesiologist, Russell, at the fertility clinic. I'm like, Russ, here we go. Give me this stuff. But yeah, so that was a fun part too. But yeah, the whole process is long. Like you wait, you know, a couple weeks, I think, before you like know, or I don't know, is it a couple weeks? Yeah, I think so. Till like, you know, how many were normal, like genetically normal and stuff. And so it's just a waiting game. Like, you get all the eggs and they're like, okay, you got 57. We'll let you know how many there are in 2 days or whatever. And you're like getting calls and
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. But when we got our genetic stuff back, I got the call. It was 5 boys, 3 girls, and my husband was at work, and I ran to Harmon's and I got 5 blue and 3 pink. And I like put them in the house. He came in. He's like, what is this? And I was like, just think about it. And he's like, eh. Oh, and then he like has this realization.
That's
he's
so
like,
cute. Oh.
He's like, there's more boys. I'm like, yeah, there's more boys. So yeah, we did that. And then we did our transfer. It was like Christmas of 2019. Went in, you do a transfer. So
Christmas.
Yeah. Like, well, it was
or
like
Christmas time.
It was like 3 days before Christmas. Okay. Yeah. Wow. So I was like on bed rest for, cause you'd have like bed rest for 2 days after your transfer. So like Christmas Eve and Christmas, I was like,
oh my gosh,
serve me.
Yeah.
You know, and like weigh all my food and bring it to me. Make sure you write it down. And yeah, my husband, he's just a trooper. He's done so much, much for me. But, yeah, so it was 2019. We did our transfer, and that basically entails, like, you do shots still, but they're different. So you do, like, progesterone shots because that helps you, like, keep a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And those shots are pretty gnarly. Those are the long needles that are inch and a half needles, and they go, like, in your bum.
In your
like,
bum.
Kind of like your hip bum. And so you do those, and then you do estrogen shots, which just, like, thicken your lining. So when they put it in there, it's just nice and cushy for the embryo to hopefully stay and grow and everything. And so we did our transfer, and it was definitely like probably the most like spiritual experience I've ever had. Yeah. Like I just like knew something was special was happening. And, 10 days later, it was actually 9 days. It's usually 10 days, but day 10 was January 1st, and they weren't like in the clinic.
Oh,
so they're like, oh, let's do New Year's Eve. Like, we'll just work in the morning and do a blood draw. So I told my family that I was finding out like New Year's Day, but it was New Year's Eve. So we go in, and well, I took a test actually that morning because I was like, oh, I just want to know kind of like before. And anyways, took a test. It was positive. So I was like, oh my God, we go in, and my numbers were great. It was amazing. We went to Zara that day and picked out a bunch of baby boy clothes.
Cute.
Like, it was the best. We knew it was a boy.
Yeah. Did you guys pick?
We just did like the healthiest. We were like, put in the healthiest and it was boy. And we were both pumped about that because we wanted a boy.
Yeah.
And, so we went to Zara. I look back and I'm like, I was 4 weeks pregnant on the dot and I was buying baby clothes. Like, I was a psychopath and I was naive.
You manifested a healthy pregnancy.
My manifest queen. Yeah, I did. I really did. So, we told my parents that night, we like wrapped up one of the little outfits and I wrapped up a pregnancy test and in a little outfit, and it was so fun. It was like so special. And he was so healthy. My whole pregnancy, like obviously the challenges of my PKU are rough, but I'm like super, I didn't get sick. Like I didn't have anything like that, which was amazing.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, can you imagine if I'm throwing up and I'm like, should I weigh my throw up? Like, yeah. I don't know.
That's so true.
And there are women out there with PKU who do pregnancies and are sick. And I'm like, how are you?
Yeah.
How do you know what
you're not keeping anything
eating?
Down.
Yeah. So, and like calories are so important. It's just wild. Wow. So his pregnancy was amazing, and had him, and he was just healthy as can be. He was huge. He was 9'3". Yeah.
Wow.
He was big and, we were just like happy as ever. And I mean, it rocked our world a little bit. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's two people in the world. They're like people who just are like, I was born to be a newborn mom. And there are people who are like, I can't. And I couldn't.
I can't wait till this baby.
Yes. He had reflux. Yeah. It was like colic. It was.
Oh, yeah.
But like 6 months in, I was like, okay, I like to be mom. This is fun. This is like what
I remember was ready 6 months feeling like, okay, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But it was so hard up until that point.
Oh my gosh,
I feel like
so hard to just like, and you're just giving so much and your body's wrecked, and I had a C-section and it wrecked me, and it's just hard not to.
Yeah.
I had a very traumatic C-section.
Yeah, you did.
It was
you
like
did.
Emergency C-section. So
you did.
Yours will be great. They'll be like, we knew we were here. We've been here ready for you. But so then I guess like fast forward to 2023.
Yeah.
Well, it was like 2022, like end of 2022, and we're like, I think we want to have another baby.
Yeah.
And so we're like, let's do it. Let's go in. And so we had
And immediately, did you know you had to go do IVF again?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We were like, let's just go do another transfer. Yep. We had them in the fridge or in the freezer. They need to be frozen. If you have them in our refrigerator. Home, make sure they're they're not at home, by the way. They're like
at the clinic.
You guys are like, they're just in your freezer.
Next to the eggs, the butter.
You're dead. I'm like, make sure you put them in the freezer.
You're like, don't eat the eggs. Not these ones.
Not these eggs.
Frozen eggs.
They're at the clinic, so we pay a nice fee to keep them there and nice and healthy. But yeah, so we knew, let's just like meet with a doctor. Mm-hmm. So we met with him. He's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. So we got rolling, started shots, and a month later had a transfer, and it was a little boy, and we were so excited. We just went with like the next healthiest. Mm-hmm. And it was another boy, and we were like, yay. Like we've wanted two kids. Yeah. My pregnancies are just, you know, high risk. It's a lot. So we were like, two kids and we'll be
happy
complete.
With whatever.
And so I got pregnant and we were so excited, and I mean, I'm glad I like didn't go start buying stuff. Maybe I should have started buying stuff.
No,
I'm like
manifesting. No.
But so I got the phone call that my blood test was good, but it was a little low. My HCG was like 64 or something, and they want to see it like 80 or above.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, it's a little low, but doesn't really matter what the first number is as long as it like doubles within like 48 hours or something. And I was like, okay. And I don't know. I wasn't like super worried about it because Hank's was so good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Miscarriage was just like never, I don't know. I just kind of thought like I had dodged that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought
especially
I was safe.
Especially because your first one just went so well.
So smooth. Yeah. And because they're genetic tested. A lot of miscarriages are just because they're genetically not compatible with life. And so like I knew I have these like perfect embryos that are genetically normal and everything. So they had me come back 2 days later. And sorry, I need a drink.
Seconds. You're good.
They had me come back 2 days later and did a blood draw, and it had dropped down to like 40 something.
Oh, no.
And they were, I was like, what does that mean? Like, I just had no idea. And they're like, you're losing the baby, you know? Oh. And, it was really hard. My husband was, leaving it like 3 days later for Israel for 10 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, so they're like, you'll definitely, worst ever. And I mean, to no fault of his own, he had to go for work. He's like, what do I do? I'm like, you go, it's fine.
Yeah.
They're like, you'll definitely like miscarry while he's gone. And it was just a lot. I just was super blindsided. Yeah. I think I was, I don't know. I'm like, I was the most blindsided by that. But I'm like, no, actually all of them were pretty much the same blindside level, but I just didn't expect it. Yeah. And it just kind of wrecked me. And I was surprised like how much my body went through, even just like so early. I mean, it's called a chemical pregnancy, biochemical, and it's just an early loss. And you basically just bleed like a normal period, but it's just like heavier. And, so I stayed at my mom's for most of the 10 days, 'cause I was just like so sad and hormonal. And
I'm so glad
like,
you were able to do that. Yeah.
She like saved me.
Yeah.
And it was hard to have him gone. And I know it was hard for him, but he got home and we just picked up the pieces and we're like, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Let's just try again. Like, these like miscarriages just happen. They just happen and we'll be okay, you know?
Yeah.
So the doctor's like, he was like, let's do an ERA. Some sort of biopsy. And so you go and do all your shots as if you're having a transfer. And then instead of a transfer, they go in and like take a biopsy of like the inside of your uterus to make sure that you're getting like the right amount of meds and all that stuff. So we did that. So it was a month of meds, just knowing like it wasn't really, it wasn't pointless, but it wasn't going to be
all that stuff. Hard. So you're putting your body through all of that.
But I was like, I didn't have to like do my diet so crazy. So that was like kind of a plus where I'm like, okay, this isn't going to result in a pregnancy. So I didn't have to do that aspect of it. And that's the other thing is like, you know, when I'm starting all the shots, I have to like get my levels in check and make sure everything's perfect and weigh all my food and we can't go out to eat and we can't do anything. And it's just a lot. So, we did the ERA. They were like, oh, you need like 17 more hours of progesterone or something. Like, so we'll just move your progesterone up to a different time. And anyways, second transfer and another boy, we actually picked that time because they were all like the same grade. At that point. And we were like, boy, with the boy, we're going to do boy. And so went in, got my blood test. It was great. My number was great. It was like 190 or something. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, it was rising and everything was great. We're like, yay, this is it.
It worked.
And yeah, it worked. And around like six, no, it was like, yeah, it was almost 7 weeks. I started bleeding.
Oh.
And like we went on a family walk and I came home and I was like, what's happening?
Oh no.
And I was bleeding and I was like, what is going on? So we went to the ER and they, I think this one's the hardest one for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay. We went to the ER and they were like, we'll check and see. And we saw the baby and just like a little gummy bear, but it was in there and it was moving and it had a heartbeat.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're like, we don't know why you're bleeding, but my ultrasound, my 7 week ultrasound with the fertility clinic was the next day. So they were like, well, just go home, like stay in bed and your doctor can tell you more tomorrow why you're bleeding, you know? So we went in and I'm so glad I didn't take Hank. I was going to take my son with us. I just naive. But my mom met me at the fertility clinic and took him and we went in and we're all excited and they go in and I see it and, but it's not moving. Oh. And I'm like, wait. And so I kind of see her face and she's like, oh, and gets quiet. And I look over at Matt and we're all just kind of like, and she's like, let me just listen. And it was just like dead silent. So silent. And and she had to get someone else to come and like confirm it. And anyways, it was just horrible. They're like, sorry. And so I had to schedule a D&C. Anesthesia.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, do I get anesthesia?
You're like, yeah. Please knock me out for this.
Like, wrestle.
Oh my gosh.
So that one we did a D&C. And I was just wrecked. I was like,
how does this happen twice yesterday?
How does it happen twice? And he was like, I just knew that like his heart stopped, or I don't know, did he have a heart? I don't know what he it all stopped in the middle of the night when I was in my bed. And so I just going home, getting in my bed, I was like, I don't even want to be in my bed because I know this is where it happened. It was horrible. But you know, we picked up the pieces, we went to Mexico. I had never been out of the country. My dad was like, I'm sending you to Mexico. And he bought us a trip to Mexico. And it makes me just, it makes me emotional. Because it was just like a healing trip where we were like, we have each other. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah. We're going to be okay. And we're like, we're going to try again. But we talked to my doctor. He went in and saw my uterus. And he's like, oh, I see some like adenomyosis. And I'm like, what is that? Like,
why now?
Do I have everything? And
oh my gosh.
It's essentially like inflammation in the uterine walls. So it makes like your uterine, I don't know. I hope I'm not saying this all wrong. But it makes like the walls like kind of bumpy. And so like when it implants, it's just not like on a super like sturdy surface. Yeah,
so crazy.
It's just what insane. Are the odds? Literally, so I'm like, I have everything. We need to go to Vegas. The odds. Yeah. I'm like, what? So he's like, what we can do is a shot called Depo-Lupron. It basically like shoots your estrogen way down and like calms that inflammation down. And I was like, okay, cool. So he's like, we do that for 3 months and then we can do a transfer. And I was so sad. I was like, oh my gosh, 3 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. In the grand scheme of things, it's fine. And so we did that from like July to September or something. And we went in and he looked at it and he's like, oh, you need one more month. It's not like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, okay, 1 month, it's fine. It's fine. I don't have to do the food stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
So after that month, he was like, it looks perfect. Let's do it. So we did a transfer, did all the food stuff again, geared up, did all the shots and did a transfer in, when was it? November. I get them all kind of mixed up. November, like right around Thanksgiving, a couple days before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And
was this
we did a boy.
Last November?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just 2023. And this is all 2023. So we did a boy and everything was looking good. All my levels were looking good. And again, I started bleeding, like literally like to the day. I think it was like a day or two.
My gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, I know. I just know. And we went in and kind of again, it was like, this isn't working. Well, it was weird because my blood levels were like kind of all over the place. And like, it was like, they're not as high as they should be. Oh, and now they're jumping up and now they were like all over. And so we were worried about like an ectopic pregnancy, which is scary is when it's like in your fallopian tube. But they ruled that out. They did like a little ultrasound, ruled that out. And all of a sudden my HCG just started dropping and they like went in and saw that there was no growth. And so, yeah, it was not fun. And it was about a week before Christmas. So that was really hard because I was like, Christmas is ruined. Like we were supposed to see a heartbeat like 3 days before Christmas. And I was like, it's going to be the best Christmas ever. It's going to like be just like tied up in a bow and perfect. And it was the worst. And my DNC was like 5 days before Christmas or something. And it was rough because I felt like I just wanted a safe face for my son because he, and we told him with the second pregnancy, I don't know why we did, with the second loss, we told him we were pregnant and he's little and but we had to tell him that we weren't anymore. And it was,
oh my gosh,
the worst thing ever. Yeah. He was like, where'd it go? Like, I want it. And it was horrible. So we learned to not tell him.
Yeah.
So he didn't know what was happening, but he knew like we were off. Like I was crying all the time. And he was always just like, are you happy or sad today? I'm like, oh, freak. I'm sorry. I'm happy. So I'm so happy.
They know. They know so much.
They just sense it. And so Christmas was super just hard. And it made me realize, like, there are so many people who have stuff, like, trauma with the holidays of some sort. And I never, like, resonated with that. I mean, I, like, could hold space for it, but I never, like, got it.
Yeah.
And now I just get it. And it's just a weird time because everyone's happy and it's joy. And you're like, I don't feel like, joy. But Like, I don't, And I actually started thinking about surrogacy at that time. I'm like, okay, three miscarriages of IVF, like, perfect embryos. Yes. Like, this doesn't happen. So
this was, like, literally just this last
2023.
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep, just this past Christmas, so a couple months ago. And I was like, I want to do surrogacy. I'm done with this. Like, and all the food stuff, it's getting so ridiculous. Yes. I just can't. Like, my body's wrecked. And all the shots, I mean, I'm like hundreds of shots in, maybe thousands. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I kind of talked to my husband about it, and he's like, I don't know. And we looked at it, and it's like, yeah, it can be like anywhere from like 50 grand to 250 grand. And we're like,
I saw you post like, that, and I was like, that's insane.
It's a huge range.
I mean, it makes sense why it's so expensive. Yes. It's someone else's body.
Yes.
It's,
yes. It's, there's so many fees and stuff. And so, and Matt was just kind of like, no, like, we're going to do it. Like, I know you can do it. And, and I mean, I don't say that, like, he would have respected if I was like, no, you know, but, but we just together, we're like, we're going to try one more time.
Yeah.
We had lost three boys. And so I just kind of convinced myself that we were supposed to have a girl. And I was like, maybe we're supposed to pick a girl. And maybe there's like, I don't know. I had like a major, just like existential crisis of like, what is real? And what is like, what is there a God in the sky? And and like, why is this happening to us? And so I'm like, well, maybe there's a girl spirit. Do I believe in spirits? I believe in spirits. And like, it's just been insane. So we were like, it's supposed to be a girl. And so we're like, all right, we're gearing up. We're doing it one more time.
Yeah.
So we did a transfer in, oh my gosh, they all blur together so bad. February.
Oh my gosh, just, this is just barely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we did a transfer February 28th.
Okay.
Oh, so just.
Wow, literally like a month ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I convinced myself, and we did everything for this one. So I'm on like blood thinner shots. I was on, he put me on Valium for 10 days.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like a muscle relaxer. Like I couldn't drive. My mom was literally coming and picking me up and like taking me to her house. I'm like in the car sleeping. He's like, we want to like relax all your muscles. Like just everything.
Anything.
We did, I told him anything. We did a steroid. I was on everything in the book.
Your poor body. And,
yeah,
your poor
thing. It was wrecked. Yeah. So I was like, if this one doesn't like, I don't know. It wasn't even on my, like, I don't want to say it wasn't on my radar because of course I was scared, but like, I was like, this is going to be it. It's supposed to be a girl. And that's like, why?
That's
And so we got my blood level back and, it was low again. Oh, it was like 37.
Oh my gosh.
Which is way low. Yeah. And I was like, nope, okay. this is not happening. Yeah. And I had some nurses be like, again, it doesn't matter what it starts at. Like, we've had people start with an 8 and they have a baby. And so I'm like, just like, it was just like wrestling.
Do I have false hope?
Yeah. And then it feels like I'm like, I don't know. I just was like, what do I prepare myself for at this point? I don't know. But in my head, I don't know. I feel like at that point I was like, no, this isn't happening. And I like fully mourned before I even like knew. Yeah. But they were like, we can have you come in like 3 days. And I was like, no, I'm coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You're like, I need when to know now. Yeah.
And I was like, it either is going up or it's going down and we're going to find out. And that's another thing I've learned. I mean, my clinic's amazing. I love them all so much. But like, I just kind of have to advocate for myself and be like, I don't want to wait that long. Yeah. I've done this too many times. And
good for you.
So I went in the next day and it was like 27. Oh, it had dropped.
Yeah.
And so they called me and they're like, you're losing this baby. And that was like 3 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like pretty fresh.
Yes. Oh my God.
I'm so sorry, Allie.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So they're like, you're losing this one too. And I was like, okay, what's the next step? I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of numb.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, like, I haven't cried about this loss in, like, I don't know, since I found out, maybe, I don't know, it feels numb, and it feels like, I don't know, I get mad at myself. I'm like, of course this was going to happen. Why did you think it wasn't? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a DNC. With my two middle ones, I did DNCs, and I actually preferred that because... It was just, sorry, I'm like,
snotty and squeaky. No, I'm literally snotty right now.
It's all coming out of my face. but I actually preferred them because they went in and they just, I mean, a DNC is when they go in and they take out all the tissue and just make sure everything's out. And I spotted for like a day or two and then it was over and my miscarriage was over. But with these earlier ones, you have to do it on your own and it just sucks. But so I just said that. I just finished that like last week. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It was and I'll go into why it was a little easier this time. Basically I found out and I was like, all right, surrogacy. And I was all over everything. I was like, okay, we're doing it. I was getting all the information, all the things, whatever. And I was like, my husband's like, do you need to take a break? Like, I think he's kind of like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I just, like, I'm not I'm doing, I'm not waiting anymore. And I'm not doing this to my body anymore, but I am not done with our family. Like, our family's not done.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just doing what I need to.
She's snoring. I told you she would snore. Yeah. That's
that is actually the cutest little thing I've ever heard. Oh,
that's
so cute. You're good, girl. She's like, I feel it.
She's snotty too. We're all snotty over here. I actually, after this, might need to pause and blow my nose.
I'm dead. But I just kind of jumped into the surrogacy world and just dove in head first. And, I think my husband was kind of, I mean, I think he'd be fine with me. He struggled a lot with this last one. I feel like maybe he was sad with all of them, of course, but I think this one was just kind of like, we realized like, oh, like this isn't happening.
Yeah.
Like this is not like four times. Like this is not. Yes.
Yeah.
And what was so hard is when they thawed our girl to do our transfer, cause they thought, they thawed out and, they got a girl out and thawed it out and it didn't survive. So we lost one in the thaw.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So, which is, I mean, I guess it happens, but
yeah.
So when we went in for our transfer, he's like, okay, so here's, they give you a picture of the embryo and they're like, hey, here's your little embryo. But, and he was like, I do have to tell you, you're down one more embryo because this other girl like didn't make the thaw.
Wow.
And I was like, what? But I was just like, I don't want to think about it. It's fine. Yeah. We'll get a girl out of this one. It's fine.
Yeah.
And all of it, I think, just kind of like hit us and it's been really hard. But, and I think my husband was like, can we just like, do you need a minute? And I just was like, no, I don't need a minute. I just need a baby.
I don't
need a minute. So, but I'm so glad I jumped in because I got so much information. I kind of put it out there on Instagram, like, hey, if you have surrogacy info, let me know.
Yeah.
Craziest thing, I've been going to the same gym for like 2.5 years. I go every day and it's like my safe place. It's like, yeah, I just go and like lift heavy weights and just sometimes cry and sometimes laugh, yeah, and it's, yeah, the best. Yeah. But I've had the same trainers for like the whole time. And one of my trainers comes up to me, she's like, hey, well, one of my friends is a trainer, and she calls me one night and is like, hey, do you know what Kirsten does for work? And I was like, no. And she's another trainer.
Yeah.
It's like, no. And she's like, she's a surrogate lawyer, or she works for a surrogate lawyer, oh, like at a surrogate lawyer firm or whatever. And I was like, what? Like, that's insane. I've been training with her for 2.5 years. I had no idea she did that. So niche.
Niche.
Yes.
I was like,
and like surrogate lawyers are not like divorce. Like,
yeah,
it's very niche. Yeah. Like there's not many in the, yeah, state.
And I was going to say, I like,
I never even heard of them before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you're going to get into, yeah, it. I know. It's crazy. And so I was like, that's insane. So I'm kind of like, that's wild. And back in December when I had looked at surrogacy for a second, I had picked out a lawyer that I wanted or whatever. Yeah. And it's him. She's his assistant. And I'm like,
you're joking.
How is this happening? How is this real?
You're joking.
So she kind of like gave me info we needed. She got me set up with like an appointment with him to just ask like, hey, how do I do this? What am I doing? My parents made a GoFundMe. It makes me cry every time I think about it because they made a GoFundMe and it has been insane. Like it was like so crazy to see like people just sending money and you just never think that you're going to be in that spot, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really a vulnerable place to be like, yeah, I need money.
All the receiving. Like,
I need,
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like 60 grand in already. And so we're like, wow, how do we keep doing this? Like, we just, yeah, can't keep doing it. So it's been amazing to just like see people helping. And anyway, so that's been awesome. And then I put out a post a week and a half ago that said, we're looking for a surrogate. And, yeah, it was shared. I put my Instagram on public and I was like stressed. I'm like, oh, yeah, everyone can see my life. But yeah. I'm glad I did because it was shared everywhere.
Well, like, we first heard about your story through our friend Bailey.
Bailey. Oh, we love her. She's and the cutest.
Then I feel like I was seeing everyone post
it was
your stuff. I was like, insane. Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
It was wild. Like I was like, is this viral?
Are we viral? Am I going viral?
Like, what's happening? It wasn't viral, but it was like Utah County viral.
Yes, yeah, sure. Yes.
And so we posted that and I assume I'm gonna cry again because I was just so humbled by like all these women being like, hey, like I'm willing to help. And
wow,
there's just like nothing more selfless, I feel like.
Sorry. Yeah,
she's like, I'll do it.
She's really in the conversation.
I love it. She's so cute. But just getting all these, I felt like I was literally on The Bachelor, where I'm like, what are your interests? Do you have kids?
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
I was like, I'm dating. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's so weird.
You really are, yeah, though. Like, you, yeah, yeah.
And so I was talking to a couple awesome women, and just. I just will never be able to like put into words how much I appreciate literally all of them. And I'll just never forget it. But I got a message Monday night and it was wild. Her name popped up and I'm like, why do I know this name? And I see this long message, but I also see messages before and I'm like, do I know her? And so I scroll up and I'm like, and it's this girl that I had reached out to back in December when I thought I wanted to do surrogacy. Mm-hmm. I had seen her on like a surrogacy page. She had had one surrogacy baby before. And I just asked her in December, like, can I just like ask you a couple questions about the
Pick
process? Like, I don't know what, yeah, I'm doing. Yeah. And she was so sweet. She's like, mm-hmm, yes, of course. She like walked me through everything. And I was like, thanks, basically. And
yeah,
and that was it. And I don't think we even followed each other. It was just like,
yeah,
but she was so sweet. And I actually like was like, oh, she would be an awesome surrogate. Like she's just like, yeah, she's, yeah, just, yeah, so cute. She's, yeah, a labor and delivery nurse. She's like, oh, amazing.
Gosh, perfect.
And I was like, oh, she's so cute. But you know the story. We did the other transfer. Our post is circulating looking for a surrogate. I get that message and I'm like, it's her that I message. And she's just like, hey, I saw your post and recognized you and saw that you had like another loss basically. And, she was like, let's chat. And so we kind of talked a little bit and I'm like, do you want to come to my house?
Yeah.
Like first date. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh.
And so she came over and I just like instantly felt like, like it was just like,
you knew,
like, electricity.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, ah.
Oh my gosh.
But it holy just cow felt right. And yeah, so we chatted and you just like have to agree on so many things to like yes. embark on all of this, and everything we've just like aligned with. And she said that, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. I love you, Megan. You're the best. But she's a labor and delivery nurse, and she a couple weeks prior had a surrogate and the parents come in and have a birth. And yeah. she said that she was like, oh my gosh. She like was emotional and was like, I think wow. I need to do this again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Literally timing just everything. Insane. And I don't think that she ever was like, oh, I'll never do that again. But like yeah. she had a good experience, but I don't know. You just kind of like, yeah. oh, that's cool. Don't I did that once. And
yeah. Doing it. Yeah.
And then she saw my post circulate and was like, I recognize her. And anyways, so she's our surrogate.
Wow.
We matched like
so fast. So fast. Like within so a matter fast. Of like 2 weeks of you.
One week.
1 week. I was literally gonna say, because like I reached out to you to come on our podcast,
yeah.
hoping that we would be able to maybe like help you find a surrogate. I know, find yeah. someone listening.
Happened. But
then you found one, and I'm so happy for you.
And she's amazing. And literally she will be family for like the rest yeah. of forever. I'm yeah. like, you're family.
Yeah. yeah.
Your family. She has the cutest twin daughters mm-hmm. and they're like early teens, and I love that because I know that like that was my first question to her is like, are your girl like how are your girls about this? Because yeah. that's
yeah
that's a huge she's a single mom, which she's amazing. And you know, to everyone else I was like, you know, how's your husband about this? But like to me, I know her girls are like her world. You know how yeah. much you love your kids.
Yes.
And they're old enough to like comprehend this yes. and know what's going on. So I'm like, first and foremost, the girls, like, how are we, you know? And she was like, they feel really good about it. They're, wow. and so that's good. I feel really good about them being able to like consent to this happening in their lives.
Yes.
And to just know that like mom's growing a baby that's not
going to be
like
theirs.
Ours.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's yeah. totally yours and your husband's yes. DNA.
Yep. 100%. It's our embryo. So she's just our little womb.
The tool.
Our
yeah,
little,
yeah.
Yes, our little vessel. Our little vessel. Our, babe, yeah. our little babysitter for 9 months.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we've started the process with her, and the process is insane. It's like,
yeah. You need a legal, lawyer, which I yes. never would even.
Yes. Like, you have think to like about. Write up a contract of like, I mean, obviously there's like compensation. You have to like agree yes. on how much. Because, I mean, some people are like, I don't know, a sister will carry for someone, or someone's yeah. mom will carry and be like, yeah, we're just going to do it. But, I mean, I think it's so important that your carrier is like feels compensated and feels yes, like valued. Like, and I'm like, it. I told her, I'm like, I'd give you $1 million if I had it. Like yeah. I genuinely would. But so you have to agree on that. You have to agree on like all the labor. She's like, I have C-sections. Is that okay? I'm like, yep, that's great. Yeah. You, I don't know. Just like all.
Yeah. Oh
like,
my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Like, the relationships you have.
And it's like, oh, do you care if I
go natural?
Yes.
Or yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, do you care if I get Pitocin? Do you care? Like,
yeah,
it's
wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
Because it's like their body and mm-hmm. they're wanting to. Yeah,
yeah, it's their body and yeah. it's our baby. So we just have to like align on everything. Another thing that's crazy that people don't think about is you have to talk about like termination mm-hmm. and like, yeah. like some people will say like, and I hate to say yeah. this because I know you have three, no, but some people yeah. will say if it turns into three, like you have to selectively terminate.
Yes.
And
yeah.
you know, so you have to agree yeah. on that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You have to agree, like, it's just, it's so, and so deep in depth, and so we agreed on everything.
That's amazing.
And just have, like, similar, just, like, she's just great. So she did, like, a medical, just kind of, like, look at her history, whatever, and then you do a medical, like, a physical, blood work, all that stuff to get her passed medically, yeah. and then we all have to do psych evaluations to yeah. make sure, wow. like, we're in the wow. right spot for all of this, so. Yeah. My husband, me, and her. Yeah. yeah. And so we do that. And then after that, we can go to the lawyer, get a contract written up of all the things, and sign it. And then we can go in and do a transfer.
Yeah.
And at that point.
That has not happened yet, right?
No.
Okay. So you're
still. That'll be like yeah. a good 3-4 months.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll be a minute. So we're still, yeah, we're just barely, I think our psych evaluations are in like a week and
oh,
a half.
Oh, so you haven't even had those yet?
No, okay, haven't okay, had those yet. Okay. Yeah, we're just wow. like literally right in the beginning. So, so yeah, we're starting all of that. Wow. You have to, it's kind of crazy. You have to prove that you can like be parents, like with adoption. I don't know if you know yeah. much about adoption, but you have to do like a home study. You have to have people come into your home.
Whoa.
Look at your home, make sure it's safe, make sure you're fit to be parents,
yeah.
all this stuff. And so that's kind of hard. Like, I don't know. It sucks to be like, oh, all these like Joe Schmoes like
are coming in and judging my home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like all these people can just get pregnant. Like these losers or these like
literally, they don't have to take their
baby home and they don't have to prove that. Yeah. And we're like obviously trying so hard and have so much love to give and we have to prove, but I'm like, I've jumped through bigger hoops. It's fine. Come into my house. Check it out. We got toddler proof everything. Like we're good.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then you kind of have to work with your lawyer to establish like the birthright and make sure that you're on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Prove to the court, whatever. So that's all of it.
Wow.
That's insane.
Sorry, that's forever, but that's my story.
That's exactly what we wanted. That's literally exactly what we wanted.
Yeah. So we're just like starting the process. It's nice and early, but I haven't even met Megan's girls yet. I'm like dying to meet them. We need to have them over.
Oh my gosh. Because you said they're going to be like family.
Yes.
So are you going to have it be, I saw this as a question. I forgot what your answer was. An open situation.
Yes. Where... Yeah. So like adoption, you know, you have like closed or open adoption. And I think with this, it's a little more like lax. You don't like say like it's open or closed.
Because it's not really it's like not her, their mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's literally your
yes,
DNA.
Yes. But yeah, so once carrier. It's out, I mean, it's just kind of like, but I told her, I'm like, you like our family. Like you can come over whenever, like you are like birthdays, you're coming over. Yeah. Like, because she was like, I'd love to like maybe come visit on birthdays. I'm
please.
Yes.
Anytime.
Of course. Like, yeah. Wow. Of course. So I want to have like a good, I know some people are like, this is transactional and she's just a means to an end. Yeah. And then they cut it off, kind whatever. Of, yeah. But I'm like, this is. I mean, even just the fact that she's doing this, I'm like, yes, you come to birthday parties, come like, I know with her other surrogate baby, they like, will babysit every once in a while. Yeah. I think she's like 16 months old or something. And
oh, wow.
So they'll babysit her sometimes. And
wow.
And like the cute girls, the teenage girls, I'm like, oh, built-in babysitters. Yeah. And I don't know.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So I'm dying to meet the girls. And I mean, I've only been like in person with Megan went that one time at my house because it's also fresh. It's been a week.
Yeah.
Since I met her and since we basically got everything going. So yeah, I'm like, we need to have her cute family over. My parents are like, can we have her over? I'm like, don't scare her away. She hasn't signed the contract yet. Like, don't scare her. But
everything's so like
everyone's
fragile.
Just like so grateful. I called my grandparents and told them and they were just like, tearing up. Like everyone's so
crazy how
grateful.
Like smooth it all worked out.
It genuinely, and again I kind of touched on this, but like I've had this like existential crisis of like, what do I
believe in
with all yes, because it's just been so much trial and just so much heartbreak that I'm like, why is this happening? You know? And but it kind of gave me this perspective of like, okay, I think like even just things like my trainer being involved with a lawyer, like maybe I like was led to this gym for a reason, like I don't know, it's just crazy. And my mom actually had a dream, I put this on my story, but yes, she had a dream one night about my great grandma who I was close with. She died when I was like 10 or 11, and she in her dream, my great grandma was walking into her house with a newborn with like a baby, but she was coming in like the side door of my parents' house. And my mom said she like physically woke up in the middle of the night and was like, that was weird. Like she was bringing a baby. That's cool. But like, why was she going through that door? And then she was like, oh my gosh, she was taking kind of like the non-conventional route. Like she didn't come to the front door. She took the side door. And so maybe our baby's just coming through an unconventional route. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. So I love that story. Cause my great grandma was
so special.
Yeah. She was stubborn. And I'm like, she's getting it done up there.
Like, she's like hey, we are delivering
an answer. Yeah. She's like, I will take it through that side door.
I will hand deliver.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So that was special too. Like I've had like these moments where I'm like, okay. I think that things happen for a reason. And I don't think even in this lifetime I'll ever be like, that's why I miscarried four babies. Like, it's so hard. But just to know that, like, there is a reason.
Yeah.
And maybe when I look into the baby's eyes, like, oh, no. Like, it was you that I was waiting for, you know? Not that, you know, but.
No, and it's so hard to.
In the next life, I'll have how many children? Six, hopefully. Yeah. Six children. Yeah. So, It's wild, but that's our life. That's been our reality. Wow. And when I tell it, I'm like, oh, I lived all of this.
It's crazy that it's so recent.
And yeah.
I'm sorry. My nose is actually, it gets so stuffy.
Do you want to stop? Do you want to go blow your
nose? No, it's okay. It's my sinuses. It's I think it's because I'm pregnant. My sinuses literally at night literally swell up. It's so bad.
Times three.
So I'm sorry for the listeners. I'm literally talking.
Oh, no, you're great.
But I sniff. I'm sorry. We'll have, Casey, we'll have to edit this all out. I'm so sorry. I literally can't breathe. Okay. Back to a more serious note. You're like, oh. It's crazy. I feel like people that come on podcasts and tell their stories, they've been through it and it's been a little while, but you're literally like, this is so recent for you, like,
right now.
And you're literally in it. Like, so I'm sure, like, how do you feel? I mean, you were so willing to come on the podcast and talk about it.
Yeah.
And you just recently also had your miscarriage.
Yeah.
So like, how are you feeling? You're excited about all of this, and are you getting like blown up on your phone all the time? Like, is everybody wanting to know? Do you have a million questions? Like, what does your life look like right now? Is it kind of crazy with?
Yes, it's been honestly, it's been, and I like hesitate to say this because it's been in the best way. I don't like want it to be like a negative connotation, but it's been pretty overwhelming. Like, even just like today and yesterday, I've just felt like, oh my gosh, like I can't, I'm like just coming down from it, like. Again, like, trigger warning. Like, I just stopped bleeding, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like, I've been seeing all these donations come in. And, of course, like, that's overwhelming in the best way. But, like, I just, it's a lot. It's been so much. And just talking to all these women. And then I felt so sad being, like, I'm so sorry. We're going in a different direction with a different person. Like,
kind of, like, breaking up.
And I just, like, was like, oh, like, this... Am I taking an opportunity from this person? But everyone I talked to, I was like, if you genuinely want to do this, there are so many women out there like me who need help. Like they need your womb. So, you know, I just kind of encourage, like, if this is something you genuinely want to do, like call the fertility clinic, you can be put on a list of surrogates. And, but it, it has been overwhelming, but in the best way. I mean, I've had like aunts and cousins and my grandparents and everyone's checking in on me, which means so much to me. And so it's been overwhelming the best way, but like, I'm kind of crashing right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even just today, I've just been like, I'm actually exhausted.
You're
like,
running. You're constantly, your mind, everything. Like,
And so now I kind of get why Matt was like, do you need a minute? Because like, I mean, I'm so glad I didn't take it because everything has worked out so great. But I'm like, hey, maybe I'll go get a massage this weekend.
Like, I'm like, you deserve it.
So I'm like, It's been a lot, but in the best way. And I just like need, I definitely need to do. And this is another weird thing is like, we have our GoFundMe and like, obviously every penny is like that we are saving is going to this. Like we were going to do our backyard and we like ripped off our deck and like got cement put on and we were going to do all this stuff. And now we're like, oh wait, actually pause. We're doing surrogacy. So we're not getting trees.
Oh,
we're just going to have cement. Like, and, you know, we went to Disneyland 2 months ago and I'm like, oh man, our people are like, they Disneyland and now they're asking, like, we just like, we didn't know, you know? And it I like, hopefully people who like know us know. I mean, it, and it gets hard. Cause I'm like, oh, I want to go get a massage for myself. And then I'm like,
wait, but you're like, is
my,
it
the money? Like, I, I'm like, okay. I'm like, Matt, give me a little massage. I'm like, we can get someone $150 for this.
No, I feel like what you've been through just over the last few years, like,
well, you can't stop, like, deserve one massage.
Right.
Like, you
have to. Maybe one. I gotta get one. But yeah, I mean, and again, like, people who have, like, donated, like, hopefully know us and know. Like, we're not gonna, like, go to Mexico or, like, go, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, you probably got to do like a baby moon type thing. But I guess I didn't even think about that. Like, the pressure of also like using other people's money.
Yes.
And like being mindful.
And just like, being mindful of like people giving and being so generous. And like, even sometimes I'll go to DoorDash and I'm like, no, like, I'm not DoorDashing. I'm going to have cereal because I don't want people. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just being like, hyper aware of it.
Well, I feel like
it,
I would feel that way too. Being like, wait, I don't want anyone to feel like. I'm not appreciative
right,
or whatever.
Right. And then I'm like,
I didn't even think about
going
I would
and
never
like buying
look,
stuff, you know? And like, I have cleaners come to my house, but we have like a, like, I'm an affiliate. And so we have like, and I'm just like,
I promise I'm not like blowing all of like the donations. Oh my gosh, and like it's, I don't know. So, so that's been like a tricky part for me to like navigate mentally. That's been tricky.
Yeah.
But definitely. I know that people like, people know us and know our hearts and know that that money is staying exactly where.
Well, where someone literally messaged me today. I don't know who they are, but they were like, oh my gosh, I love Allie. She's so sweet. Aww. I'm so glad you guys are sharing her story. Like people like are hearing about you and they like know about this. So I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is a big deal. And I think you have literally so much support. Like,
I do. It's been shocking. And again, I think it's like made me realize like what we have gone through. It kind of has just felt like we're like in overdrive a little bit. And I'm numb a little. Like I'm like,
totally.
But then I'm like, oh, I have miscarried 4 times. And I miscarried on average every 3 months for a year. Yeah. Like, that's pretty wild.
Hearing all of that just now, it's like, I feel so grateful.
Yeah.
And like, just, I've taken so much for granted, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like insane the process that you went through to get pregnant. And some women will never even have to experience.
No, that wasn't you. You were just sitting there.
It just might be Mike. Neat.
You're like, please don't go there. No, don't go there. Mike's trying to get fresh. Yeah, I'm like,
a little freaky. It's a little early. Just the night for that. Freaking give me some food first. Why can't I eat first?
And make sure you weigh it too.
Weigh my food. Thank you. But yeah, no, I love that because. I actually have a friend who I work out with, and she's the sweetest. I just love her. But she messaged me once and said, she's like, I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. But she was like, you make me so grateful for my kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the best thing I could hear, honestly. And,
that's cool.
Cause she was like, you know, she has 3 kids and she has had them easy, and she's like, I live in a townhome and I always like look at your house and I'm like, oh, she has a house and like whatever, and you know, and she's like, your story makes me grateful for like the things that matter. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And I did a little question box tonight for today for like the podcast tonight, and one of the questions I got was like, how do you not see yourself as a victim? And
it's a good question.
It's the best question, because that's actually something I've like grappled with for actually years of just like, I don't know. I feel like we're kind of conditioned, to like feel bad for ourselves and like be like, woe is me. And like the victim mentality is just like kind of raging in the world, I feel like.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like very strong, and I didn't realize, I wasn't like self-aware about it, until, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And her comment, like my friend's comment saying, I'm grateful, like you make me grateful for my kids. It made me realize like everyone has stuff, you know, cause she's like, oh, like I live in this townhome and whatever. And I'm like, you have kids, like everyone has stuff.
Yeah.
And we all just like, that's what I've learned from this is like, yeah, I've had hard stuff, but like, so does everyone. Mm-hmm. So does literally everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's made me realize, like, I don't know, you'd think that it would make you feel more sorry for yourself, but it's actually made me be like, okay, like, I don't know. Women in the infertility community are amazing and like so supportive. And so I have met so many women who have dealt with stuff like this, but there are people who deal with other things. And you just have to know that like everyone is dealt their hand, and you just kind of have to look. Like, I look at my son, I'm like, he's like a miracle. So like, you know, I even with all of this, I can look at him and be like, I have you. Like,
and you that's kind of so hard for him.
I worked so hard for him, and I'm just like so proud that I did that for him. And he's just the best boy. But I don't know if any of that is like making sense or what I'm talking in circles. But I think it's a huge thing to just take, even if you've like haven't experienced miscarriages or anything of that, like you can kind of just look and be like, everyone has something, and like not everyone shares it, not everyone's open about it, but
you know, and especially in like the Instagram world, mm-hmm. we yeah. see people who I'm like, do you cry? Like, are you ever sad?
Like, did your husband ever fight? I always think that. I'm like, your wife.
Yeah. Your life. Do we trade?
Yeah.
But like, no, like everyone has mm-hmm. something at some yeah. point in life. And like, no one has an easy life, and everyone's hard is valid too. Like, I meet women who are like, oh, I only had one miscarriage. I'm like, no, it's apples and oranges. We don't have to compare.
Yeah.
And, or people who are like, oh, well, I had infertility, I did IVF, but I never had miscarriages. I'm like, you still went hard. Through yeah. something. And so that's, you're allowed to like be sad about that. But also everyone has their stuff. And so you just kind of realize like, oh, I don't want to trade that person's stuff. And so yeah. I'm grateful for my stuff. And you just have to use your stuff to grow. And mm-hmm. like,
I love that.
If you don't, then it's really pointless to go through stuff. Yeah. Like yeah. if you're just like, woe is me, my life sucks, da da da. You kind of have to. And like, I think this has helped. Hi, Matt, our marriage. Like,
yes.
we've like grown so much stronger with each other. And I think he's seen everything I've gone through physically. I've seen everything he's gone. Like, it's been a team effort. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, Allie. But I'm like, no, like Matt is, like, we are a package deal. Like, we are going through this together, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, his body's not doing it, but he's, you know, he's weighing my weight on at night for me. And yeah. yeah. And emotionally, he's been, like, I've been all over the place. Just,
yeah,
you know, hormones
and so many.
And then I'm literally, like, I think I'm, like, do we have postpartum hair loss every time? Like, yeah. Sorry. I, like, get postpartum yeah. sweats. And he's been so patient with all of it. And so that's another thing, is I think you can just like take your trials and be like, okay, what can I get from this? Like, how can this like serve me in yeah. a way?
Yeah.
And it's you're allowed to be sad. And like, yeah. sometimes I still am like, oh, my life. But yeah. you know, you just have to, I don't know, focus. It's so corny, but just like focus on the good things, and you're allowed Absolutely. To be sad, but, and you have to honor that. You have to honor the sadness. You can't push it away. But like, I feel like, when I honor the sadness, it leaves sooner.
Yeah. And yes.
Then I can like let yourself
head on yeah. rather than avoid it.
Yes, yeah. for yeah. sure. Let myself like be in it and then let it go.
Yeah. yeah.
And I know it'll come. Like, grief is definitely not linear, I've learned. Like,
yeah.
it's like very much like I have a great day and I'm like, I think I'm over it. I'm healed. Good. Yeah. And then the next day I'm like, I'm not getting out of bed actually.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So just like, I don't know, having grace with yourself through hard things, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I, off the top of my head, I remember this one question she asked, how to help her friend going through infertility and like what to say, because
yeah.
they're not really sure like how to handle it.
I love that. So that's a tricky one, because I have shared things of like how to tell your friend you're pregnant who has mm-hmm. infertility, whatever. And, I just like want to make it clear. I don't think like anyone owes, I don't know. I just, I've had people be like, why do you think that like you should be treated different? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
Just, and I just think like being there, I don't know, being there and being like this person asking that question, that just shows that she is a good friend because she cares. And I don't know, I think just being transparent enough to be like, I don't know what this feels like, but I imagine that it's really hard, and anything you need, like, I'm here. And like, I know it's such a buzz term right now, but just like holding space and just being yeah. like, you're allowed
yeah.
to feel this way. I have a friend who is going through it. She's been trying for like 5 years and she has adenomyosis like me. So mm-hmm. messed up uterus, friends, but she doesn't have a child yet. And all of her, posts and so I don't know, I it's so weird because I'm like, I know how you feel, but also I don't, because yeah. and so I just have to like kind of be like, listen, I'm holding space for you, I am here for whatever you need. And kind of goes along with like, I don't know, everyone has different and it's all valid.
Yeah,
everyone's heart is different and it's all allowed to be hard, and you don't have to like compare. Anyways, I don't know if I'm like answering this directly, yeah, but I think just like being there and yeah. holding space and just letting her feel the things. Cause I think a lot of people are kind of like, I don't know, you get a lot of like, oh, well, you can have my kids, or oh, yeah, will you sleep at night? That's so, you know, and it's like,
these people will give. Yeah, they try to solve it and not tell, and tell you why you shouldn't be feeling that way.
Right, yeah. Right.
Do you ever feel like people like walk on eggshells with certain topics around you? And do you hate that? Do you wish people would just like say something? Or
I mean, I feel like I used to, yes, but I feel like I've kind of learned that like, it's just people's intentions.
Yeah.
Like, I had an experience and like, I have no, like, I don't know. I like, I hate talking about experiences because I'm like, there are real people behind these things. Yeah. And I like have love for everyone. And I don't have like any animosity to anything, but
yeah,
I did have one experience where, I had a friend who was pregnant and she didn't know how to tell me. And so she didn't tell me cause she was like grappling with it and was like, how do I tell her? And then I found out like in a big group with people and it was super awkward for me. And I was like, this is awkward. Yeah. And I look back and I feel so bad for her because I'm like, oh, I know that she was like, that's not how I want that to happen. And and I know it's because she, you know, felt like she wanted to protect me. But like for me, like I can't look at that and be frustrated because I'm like, it's because she cares.
Yeah.
And like people will be like, you know, and like even you were like, oh my, like it's gonna be stressful and I feel bad today. And I'm like, no, like you are allowed. I think that's like a tough thing in the infertility community is because it is sensitive. It's super sensitive. And people sometimes are so insensitive that you're like, are you serious? But but I think that like just, I don't know, and then maybe this is for the infertile girlies out there, but I think we just need to like give grace because people who don't know just don't. Know.
Right.
Yeah. And we can't expect them to know. And we can like educate and be like, hey, like here's, you know, here's how you can support someone or here's how you can like tell someone that, that you're pregnant. But again, I also don't feel like that's like owed to us. And I feel like we should be, I don't know, we should be mature enough to be like, yay, like happy for you. Like I've had many moments where I've been like, yay, I'm so happy for you. And I go and cry in my car and I'm not mad at them.
Yeah.
I'm mad at my situation. Yes.
You can feel sad about your situation and happy for your
and be happy. Exactly. And that, that's been like, I think a huge theme too, is just being like, wait, I'm confused because my friend just had a baby and I'm so happy for you. And I want to go hold your baby, but I don't. And I'm so sad, but like, I want to support you. And one of my best friends just had a baby a month ago and she had a shower and she actually had two miscarriages before this baby. So I was like so thrilled for her. And like, there's just a different, like, I was like, this is your rainbow baby. Like you deserve this. And like, you've been through it.
Yeah.
But she knew like, hey, like you don't have to come to my shower. And I tried and I just couldn't. I mean, it was actually the shower was the day of one of my due dates. And I was like, I just can't swing it. Yeah. But just like, I think on both ends, just giving each other grace. Like everyone needs to give each other more grace and not be like so quick to like, just like, I don't know, be a martyr or like be a victim and just, I don't know. So that's like for my infertile girlies and for my fertile girlies who don't know how to handle that. I think we can like all just do better with that. And I think after my first miscarriage, I was like so sensitive and just so, you know, and I don't know, you'd think maybe I'd be more sensitive now, but I do just think that like, we all need to give each other more grace.
Yeah.
I love it.
In general.
I feel like women in general, just, I mean, after my pregnancy, seeing you pregnant with triplets and hearing your story, I'm like, we have gone through so much shit.
Yes.
As women in general.
You had a crazy pregnancy. Yeah. Like,
I mean, obviously it's like a huge blessing.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me as I was like, I feel like I can't complain about this because I know that there's other people who would die to be in my situation. And like, but I was borderline suicidal.
Yeah, you were wrecked.
I was like, I mean, if it weren't for literally having a baby in my tummy, I probably wouldn't have been very good.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it's like.
And that's allowed, you know? And I think like all of us realizing like, okay, I'm allowed to have my heart and they're allowed to have theirs. And we don't have to compare them.
Yeah. But women are amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that like, modern medicine exists that you can do this.
I can put my baby in someone else and just
and
be
it's
like,
still your
just
baby.
Take care of
that's
it for
amazing.
A second.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It's
I'm amazing. Glad that you have that option because it would just be heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I can't even imagine.
I would have been barren.
You've been through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so just like hanging on to the silver linings and, you know, even after, like, every time I would get a call that I was miscarrying, I'd be like, we're ordering Indian food. Like, I'm like crying and sad, but I'm like, I'm going to eat rice tonight.
Treat yourself. Whatever,
you know? Splurge. I'm like, I'm getting a cookie or something. And I don't know. I think that's just like, it's taught me so much about life and relationships and myself. And just like, I think we need to be so gentle with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I still struggle so much with like, with guilt. And I like look at my husband and I'm like, oh, his sperm was like above average. I'm like, if you married someone else, like you would have had a full, it's super hard. And so that's, I think that's what I'm battling the most. But just like giving ourselves grace and being like, we are all doing the best we can, you know?
Yeah.
And others, everyone else is doing the best they can. Everyone's caught shit on their plate and like, we're all doing the best we can.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think that's a really good way to end this.
I was like, they just cracked me.
We all have shit on our plate.
We do. Just kidding. That wasn't meant to be disrespectful.
No, I thought it was so funny.
But no, I think the lessons that you've already learned from this are so beautiful. Like everything you were saying, I was like, oh my gosh, I can just think of so many people that I am already wanting to send this podcast to.
I've never talked for too long.
No, so it was crazy. Beautiful. I've never actually had a conversation with someone who struggles with infertility about that, because I've been like, do they want to talk about it? Like, how do we talk about this?
Totally.
So this has like opened my mind so much, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I literally have such a deeper level of empathy that I didn't have before.
Yeah. And I think you can do that. I think you can say, hey, I don't know if you want to talk about it. If you do, I'm here. And if you don't, like, that's fine too. Yeah. And you know,
I know when I reached out to you, I was like, I don't know how to say that, but I like, I want your story to be heard. Yeah. And if you're willing and you want to,
I'm always an open book always. And so I'm grateful. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
You're so fun to talk to. I'm like, we'll have to have you on again. Yes. What? Maybe with your surrogate.
With my
and we can talk about
if
that.
If she would. I bet she would.
I'm like looking into the future, because it's like so early, and I'm like, okay, now we need an update.
Yes. She's amazing. That would be so fun. She's the cutest.
I can't wait for you to have your baby in your arms.
Little quadruple rainbow.
Do you know the gender?
Yeah, so we have two left.
You don't have to say.
No, it's okay. We have one boy and one girl. So I'm like, let's just have the doctor. Like, it was too much emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, but we want a boy. I'm like, I know, but so I think I'm just gonna be like, just put one in. And I kind of don't want to know, and I kind of want to do like a cute little gender reveal theme. Always was like, gender reveals, like, whoa. And now I'm like, I'm gonna have
you deserve one.
So I don't know. I think, I mean, it's not set in stone yet. Maybe tomorrow we wake up and we're like, put in this one. But
as of right now,
it feels good to just do a 50-50. And I'm like, that's what everyone else has. So it's a little sense of normalcy. I don't know.
That's cool.
So we'll see. Well, rainbow baby. Hopefully come in 2025 now.
Yeah.
That's a good year.
We're excited to see. That is a good year.
It's like a nice number. Even year. Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
I love it. Well, thank you
for having me, you guys.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Double Scoop. We hope that you liked what you heard, and if you did, it would mean the absolute world to both Ashley and I if you could leave us a review on your favorite listening platform. Also, don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram at The Double Scoop Pod. There we post reels, behind the scenes, pictures with our guests, things like that. So go ahead and give us a follow and tune in every week for a new episode. Bye, guys.